Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Hiring. It's one of the biggest headaches for business owners. And if you're in healthcare, you already know. One bad hire can tank productivity, mess with patient care, and throw your entire practice into chaos. So why do most doctors still rely on outdated, broken hiring methods? Today, we're calling BS on the resume-first approach and getting real about what actually works. My guest is Dr. Michael Neal, an optometrist who got sick of the hiring hamster wheel and decided to fix the problem himself. What started as a personal mission to stop the never-ending cycle of bad hires at his own practice turned into Build My Team, an outsourced hiring solution that helps healthcare professionals across the US and Canada find the right people for the right roles. We're talking about why hiring based on experience alone is a disaster, how speed and strategy can make or break your team, and the real reason most practices are constantly scrambling to fill roles. If you're tired of hiring struggles, sucking the life out of your business, stick around because Dr. Neal's about to break down how to ditch the stress and build a team that actually works. So Dr. Neal isn't just an optometrist. He's a hiring disruptor. As the founder and CEO of Build My Team, he took his own staffing nightmares and turned them into a system that helps healthcare professionals hire smarter, faster, and with way less frustration. His approach? Forget resumes, because the best candidates aren't always the ones with the most experience. He's cracked the code on finding the right people by looking at mindset, strengths, and long-term success potential. Beyond revolutionizing hiring, Dr. Neal is a marathon runner, a dad, and someone who knows what it takes to build a business and a life you actually enjoy. Today, he's here to share the hard-earned lessons that turned his practice around and how you can do the same. Dr. Neal, welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.
I don't even know if my head's going to fit in the door after that intro. Holy cow, that was fantastic. Thank you.
I'm thrilled to have you. And I think you're going to be so helpful to a lot of people out here because hiring is a really challenging part of any business, especially for entrepreneurs, which we really cater to a lot of entrepreneurs. But take us back, would you please, before Build My Team was even an idea, what was the biggest struggle in hiring for your own practice? And what's the moment that you decided, oh man, there's just got to be a better way?
Oh, we're going to dust off the horror stories here, Kelly. The practice was churning through people. And it wasn't a revolving door so much as one that would spin so fast, it would shoot people out. It was crazy. And why did it have to be that way? Turns out we were hiring using resumes. We were hiring by interviewing people. But the real issue was we were hiring as doctors. We were hiring people that we wanted to help up, give them the chance that they needed, you name it, all of those types of things. This was more so a Hallmark movie than it was a practice hiring. It was that bad. So what was the turning point? Boy, I went to executive coaching back in 2016, took a look at the team members that they had in this organization. It was called Strategic Coach. They did a wonderful job of their hiring because they were incredibly intentional on how they brought people onto their organization. And that turned into exploring Four Seasons, Disney, and taking a look at their hiring processes. And this is before the company even existed. I found out we were doing it all wrong, like dead wrong, in order to have these high performers on our teams. That's why we didn't get any.
Oh, so at some point you go, I can't do this anymore. What was that moment for you? You go get coaching. You have to put that together with, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. We got to make a change. What was it for you?
It was in one of those executive coaching sessions where I took a look around the room and I said that these folks' teams, their team is very similar to ours, to our ideal team in a practice. Very service oriented, extremely nice people. They were all there being themselves. They were very authentic. That's one of the things that I took home. Like, these folks loved what they did, period, full stop. It wasn't an act. It wasn't them being salesy or anything like that. They really loved what they did. And at that point, I realized they built their team like that. Why can't I do that? The real reason was the reason I couldn't do that is because I didn't have the ability to think that way at the time. That changed really quickly. And then it became a matter of, how are these folks doing it? What's their process? Like, entrepreneurs love to create and innovate and all the rest of that stuff, but the world runs on process. There's a James Clear quote: systems are for people who care about, or goals are for people who care about winning once. Systems are for people who care about winning repeatedly. That's James Clear. And so I looked at how they built their systems, did a really deep dive into each of these companies, and I found out that they were doing things very differently than what we were.
I think that's, and I love connecting the dots. Anybody who watches this show knows that that's why I always start with the journey. It's fascinating watching how someone becomes an expert, usually based on need, usually based first on mistakes, then need, and how to fix that. So you're going, one thing I have to shout out to everybody out there is that getting coached can be the difference between success and failure. But for sure, you really need, when you go to someone who's a great coach, it will exponentially jump your business forward.
No question. Absolutely.
Worth the money.
No question.
People
are
afraid
it.
To spend the money, but when you get a really good coach who's vested in you, it makes all the difference.
The entrepreneur themselves is the best investment you can make, right? Spending it on yourself to get better at what you do. And that's something that I really strongly believe in. And boy, did it ever pay dividends for me. It opened my mind to a whole new way of doing things, a whole new approach. It gave me tools in order to get that done. And the confidence that this is, I guess the best way to say it, the confidence that this is doable, that you can actually solve this problem. Because after being in private practice for years, how many people listening to this on the small business side just throw their hands up in the air and say, I can't figure this out. We did. And we systematized it, built it so that it's automated, almost all automated, and incredibly reliable. It just produces the results that we want over and over again. So can it be done? Yes. Was it fun? A little bit. Was it miserable? A lot. That's the reality.
That's what
I'm not here to make it. I'm not here to make it up. It sucked. I'll give you an example. We built the hiring system to use email. And oh boy, there was a day when my assistant was shared an office at the time, sitting behind me. And for 6 out of 8 hours, she talked to people about how she educated them on how to check their spam box. 6 out of 8 hours.
I mean, she had lunch. Is there any hell hotter than what that sounds like?
I don't know. It was pretty toasty in there. So the bottom line there is I threw my hands up in the air and I said, we're DOA. We are dead on arrival with this product because we have to educate people on how to check their spam box. So we stopped, built the entire system out for texting. Everybody has text. It doesn't require an app. Like, it's straight to your phone, no matter what carrier you use, et cetera. And that took months to do. And it was hard. And it introduced a level of expense to it. But the reason we did it is because without it, it won't work. So for anybody doing hiring nowadays, unless you're hiring people who actively are sitting on a computer all day long, it doesn't work. And in private practice with administrative people, things like that, everybody said they checked their email. But the reality was they did it maybe 2 to 3 times a week. And I'm telling you, they'll have applied for 100 jobs by the time they actually get your email, maybe more. So the build my team approach is to send a text within 5 seconds of them hitting the apply button. And that's how our process starts.
That's how the world works now. It has no attention span. They can't postpone gratification. And more than that, people are being inundated with so much data, so many requests. It's overwhelming. So for you to run a business without some automation attached to it is hamstringing yourself. And you also have to have multiple ways to do it, because I know for myself, because of all the people I'm involved with and the different companies I deal with, inundated with email, and long emails. People send out these long,
Oh my goodness.
ridiculous selling emails that I think, do you really think anybody, if somebody has the kind of time to read all this, then do you really want to hire them because they don't have time to work on your project?
Oh my goodness. Exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head for how to attract A players, ironically, through the hiring process. If you have the ability to interview somebody three or four times, if you're interviewing by committee, if you require all the sign off, to if the Pope and US Congress have to sign off on your hiring, what you're going to do is categorically turn the top talent away so fast your head's going to spin. You have to be decisive in your hiring process. And the more decisive you are, the better the top talent is attracted to you.
How do you feel the personal element comes into this when you meet someone? You know, how much of it is based on the chemistry of when you actually get that candidate in front of you and the energy that the two of you have? How powerful of a component do you feel that is in your hiring process?
I'm going to answer that in two parts because I only use the Build My Team hiring process. We quit the resume-based approach a long time ago. So the people that I'm sitting across from, usually I'm not involved in the hiring. The team members do that. However, the folks that sit in front of us on an interviewing side of things, through the Build My Team process, we already know they can do the job with about 97% certainty. That's how accurate the algorithm is for us and our software. So at that point, since I know they can do the job, I'm looking for the person who's the best fit. I don't mean from a job standpoint, who's going to be the most fun to work with? Who's going to be the person that I'm walking into the office thinking, yeah, I wonder how Susie's doing, or I wonder how Larry's doing today, versus, oh my God, I got to see Susie and Larry. I don't have much hair, but I don't want to pull the rest of it out. And that's really, it's a silly thing. But on the doctor side of things, I think of the emotions behind that. You've got a doc who's up to their eyeballs in debt. They've got golden handcuffs with the practice. They can't leave if they wanted to. You literally can't leave if you want to. And that's so many small businesses. So with that in mind, you end up in a situation where you're stuck. And I mean, I went through this with the old team that we had. It was awful. I hated going into the practice. I love the patient care. They're fun. Patients are great. But the team was dreadful. It was awful. And ended up hiring a person through the Build My Team process who became our operations manager and runs both Build My Team and the practice. Not the practice manager. He runs both companies at a higher level. And it took about 2 years, but he took those C and D players off the team and he replaced them with A players and B plus players. And so it got to the point, and I don't really remember it being a day. Like I remember the day when like you asked me earlier, when Build My Team needed to be started, but I don't remember a day. I just remember in general walking into the practice and it was fun again. Kelly, that's the whole point. It was fun again. And it just snuck up on me. You talk about culture and all the rest of those things in a business. I'm telling you want to improve your culture, let the people, the low performers go, replace them with higher level talent. And the culture shifts immediately to one of performance. And it's fantastic. So I live that. And boy, oh boy, I wouldn't go back.
Would actually, I love that you say that, but one of the key points I think is so important to highlight is that we're a working culture. It seems the next generation isn't quite as committed to the work ethic that I
Oh,
think we all have.
I would totally disagree with that, but
You
we'll
think
circle
so?
back to that one. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they're working less but smarter, smarter but less. But I know my generation, a work ethic was really important, but we realize, oh, we're going to be working a long time because we're going to live a lot longer than anybody could have anticipated. So people are figuring out how to reinvent themselves and how to bring their talents into a new world. So I that personal element that you said, one of the things that you said that I love so much is you do not want to walk in every day and dread seeing these people because it will leak out to your patients. It will leak out to everybody else. They represent you in dealing with your public. And having been in marketing for about 35 years now, I can tell you, I never understand that when a company doesn't understand that the person you hire that answers the phone, that person is you. They don't know you yet. And they may, and your client, your potential client may never know you if that person drops the ball, if that person isn't personable and connective and happy that they're working for you, then you're losing clients you just don't know about yet.
And in a healthcare practice, the doc gets all the credit for the care. Terrific. That's fantastic. But who really runs the practice? Like from a patient standpoint, and I love to go through this, who gets the 5-star Google reviews? Who gets the 1-star Google reviews? It's almost never the doctor.
No,
it's almost service. Never the owner of the business. It's the team, because right. The team is what interacts with the customers almost exclusively. On the doc side, what do you have? 10, 15, maybe 20% of the interaction with the patient. If totally the rest true. Is provided by your team. So that's the from the customer standpoint, from the personal standpoint on the doctor, the owner side of things, you just got to take a step back and think, what would work be like if I couldn't wait to go in and work with the team? If I was surrounded by professionals who absolutely did their job incredibly well, and all I had to do was essentially provide the resources for them to do their job, tell them what the vision of what their job is, and then get the heck out of their way.
And well, you'd be confident, yeah. You'd be less stressed, and you'd be yeah. happy, and everyone would want to work with you.
And that becomes magnetic and also self-fulfilling. Because when you are a happy, magnetic leader, folks want to work with you. And the most important thing is the right team members want to work with you. The C and the D players, they're terrific people. That's fine. But they're in the wrong role for themselves. They can't excel in a role where it's not a good fit for them authentically. The A players and the B+ players, they figured out what they're great at, what they're authentically great at. And they, when they show up for work, they're just being themselves all day. That's one of the key components of the code that Build My Team cracked, is how to determine that and get them into a business. So we see people who are just flat out happier.
That alone, right there. There are many points to this, many blessings attached to this, but right there, happier people build a happier business and a better clientele, a happier mm-hmm. connected clientele. That's fabulous. So in your process, you really yeah. have highlighted from all the research I did that resume is not, it's not the golden standard in hiring anymore, that it's really yeah. a broken system and it just doesn't work. Why do you think so many people cling to it?
My expertise is focused primarily on administrative clerical team members. I'm not, resumes might be useful for CEOs, executives, stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the average resume that comes in for an entry level or let's say a middle management position. If you're not already up to speed on this, you're not going to what I have to say. They are made up, invented, untruthful, or have an element of truth to them. They are descriptive only in the light of, here's what I used to do and was so good at it, I either got fired or I'm not there anymore. So you don't have a history of what they're good at. It doesn't tell you a single thing about their strengths and talents, unless maybe you get 100 words a minute out of the deal. Great, that's a strength in terms of office work now. But it really doesn't provide anything about what they're good at, what they're authentically interested in. It's not part of a resume. It just flat out isn't part of a resume. So when you're hiring based on those resumes, what do you end up getting? You end up going to Vegas and rolling the dice on who gets an interview. And then when you get them in for an interview, the first thing you ought to realize is these people want a paycheck. They're going to tell you anything you need to hear in order to get that paycheck. Now, is this a pessimistic view on resumes? Let's face it, there's not, this glass is leaking. It's not even half full anymore. I'm sorry to say, that's what resumes are. And the reason that you can hire people using that process is occasionally you get it right. But how many people do you have to get it wrong for in order for your business to thrive? And what you'll find too, which is the most amazing thing in a small business side, is that professional HR people also struggle with this. Their batting average is just slightly better. And that's why, like when I started Build My Team, the unknown strength I had was complete ignorance as to how the process should work. We had to create it based upon getting the best outcome possible, which is an automated system to produce people who excelled in administrative and clerical positions by each specific position. We didn't know the right way to do it, knew what the wrong way was. And so through a whole bunch of work in a couple of years, that's what we've been able to develop. And I don't know. I don't even want to think about the horrors of having to go back through the interview process like that, because we have such an incredible advantage by utilizing people's strengths and talents that when you sit down for an interview through the Build My Team process, you have a report on the person right in front of you. It's an insight report, it's called. It tells you all these insights about who the person is in terms of what they're actually good at, where their strengths and talents are. Nothing to do with work history. We don't care about that. It tells you how fast they learn so that you don't have to be worried about them learning quickly. And you can sit and have a conversation with them about that. Now,
how is that assessed when they're doing an assessment on someone? Is it AI generated? Is this assessing them? How are you getting that information from someone you've not met before that isn't being, I want to know what the criteria are, the parameters are within that test that would let you know in this assessment, they're best skilled to do this and this.
Yeah. So it all starts with, our team writes the job descriptions and then posts the job descriptions to about 20 different job boards. We have a great big funnel. And the reason I bring that up is as soon as they apply for one of the jobs, they get a text, as I mentioned earlier, within 5 seconds. That's where the assessment process starts. It's all via their cell phone. Now, we're not asking them flat out, are you good at XYZ? No, it's a far more sophisticated 7th generation psychometrics testing battery. And what this will output is what their natural strengths and talents are. One of the examples I love to use is this. It's so simple. Pretend I'm an interviewer right now. You're interviewing for a practice manager job. I'm going to ask you, how do you handle stress? What's your answer?
Amazing at handling stress.
Okay. Now, for anybody on video, hands are shaking. Sweat's pouring off my brow. I'm amazing at handling stress. My shirt is soaked. I'm dripping. I'm so terrified. I'm amazing at handling stress, right? Kelly, I got news for you. On the Insight Report, we don't have to ask the question. We already know the answer to that. And for an example, in a business that is very high volume, or let's say position like a front desk person dealing with medical insurance with patients, that is the definition of high stress. And if you are a person who claims that you have incredible stress tolerance and you don't even have a little bit of it, you won't last 2 weeks. And then unfortunately, the business hires you, puts all this several thousand dollars into you, and you're gone in 2 weeks. Just that simple. And it has nothing to do with anything else. That it's that simple in that particular example.
I'll go through your system. Then you're saying they can't jack the system. They cannot lie in this system.
Oh, they do all the time. We catch it. We do all the time. Absolutely, positively. Yep. And it flags that once the system flags that, they exit the process. We have hundreds of candidates. We don't have to sit around and, hey, were you really telling the truth? No, they just gently and politely exit the process. So the next thing we do, which is another check and balance, is for the candidates that we know can do the job, and that's that thumbs up that our software gives us, then they're sent a video interview. And so it's a one-way video interview where they get to record the answers to the questions. Our team watches these. They're not given to our clients, but our team watches them. We don't care if they're black, white, pink, green, male, female. We don't even know their gender until a lot of times we don't know their gender, period, because none of that matters. It's a completely blind hiring approach. What we're looking for is how they answer the questions. Not so much the answers to the questions, but how. The intangibles behind that. Are you talking like this, nice and calmly? Are you talking like I am, where I'm half wound up all the time? What's the best fit for a practice? Are you somebody that we can put in front of grandpa and grandma coming into a practice with confidence? Are you somebody that's more designed or more at home in a practice, more of a modern practice, things like that? Only when that's all done do we send those finalist candidates over to the client for review. And at that point, we know they can do the job with 97% certainty. The practice just gets to pick who they think they would want to work with best.
So they get options, but they don't have to go through the whole process. They're now going to get qualified candidates that really have been vetted through your system and through the personal side of the system of being able to assess them on these videos. So you really get multi-pronged assessed people.
Yep.
Tell me, this is such a great thing to tell everybody out there. What's the cost of hiring the wrong person? Not just financially, but in terms of morale and culture and business growth. When you're out there telling people you should use our service because there's a high cost to hiring the wrong person.
The number I continuously see in the industry is about $12,000. That's the cost of hiring the wrong person. Now, whether it's higher or lower is immaterial. Our service is a fraction of that, a small fraction of that. And the real problem isn't the immediate problem. Number one is immediate financial hit. The second problem is that you start to burn the team members out, the existing team members. Oh, I don't want to train them. I don't want to that. They're just going to leave right away. So in psychology, there's a concept called learned helplessness. You're a rat in a cage. No matter what you do, you get shocked. So what do? You end up sitting in the corner and doing nothing. And that's a bit of an extreme example, but in a small business, you're not that far off. When the business owner continuously brings one dud to the table after another, there's nothing motivating about that. It is the exact antithesis of motivation. You can't wait to avoid that person, but that's your job, is to get them up and running. And so it becomes very frustrating and an incredibly effective way to burn out top talent.
And if they're not part of the process, and now you're bringing somebody in from the outside and they have to make them part of the team when you don't actually suffer the daily grind of those people, but the rest of the team does, there's a high cost to that. I think that's why they have that adage, you never fire anyone too early. The crime is in keeping them too long.
Yeah.
And knowing the difference. Now, you also mentioned speed is a big part about hiring. And yet so many people drag their feet. Why does moving quickly give you an advantage?
It depends what type of person you want to hire. If you want to hire a C or D player, take all the time you need. Because they got nothing going on. They're not in a hurry. That's the type of person you're going to attract if you aren't decisive and maximizing time. From the other standpoint, like what we see with Build My Team, we hear this all the time from the candidates, is, wow, I've never been through a process like this. This is exciting. I wonder how high the quality of the people on your team are, if you're this nitpicky in particular about getting people onto your team. And that's what we want to hear. We want to hear these people like, yeah, I want to join this practice because these folks sound awesome. So how do you do that? You move. You have to hustle. I'll give you an example. In our practice, when Build My Team sends over a candidate, our practice manager moves on immediately. If she gets that person in the insight report in her inbox first thing in the morning, it's a stop what you're doing, reach out and try and get that person in before lunch for an interview.
Oh, wow. Quickly.
It's a stop what you're doing.
Under your feet.
Yeah. As long as the electricity's on and there's no catastrophic problems at the practice, that's what you focus on. Because that particular candidate now knows, hey, these people really have their act together. I just hit that button last night. I filled all that stuff out in my PJs on the couch while the kids were asleep. And next thing you know, I got an interview the next morning. What you don't do is sit on it for a couple of days, because the A players have the resume out to a whole bunch of different practices. They don't care that I'm an eye doctor. They don't care that somebody's a dentist. They want to work in healthcare. They want a stable paycheck sitting at a desk or working with people that in an air-conditioned office. That's essentially what they're looking for. Although, you know, I might be in love with the optometry concept, for them, it's a position in an office. And that means you and your business are competing against all the people in the same boat. So what are you going to do? This is just like customer service. You're going to wait 3 days to call the client to get back to them? Are you going to wait 3 days to talk to somebody about a sales opportunity? Of course not. you are selling your practice to these candidates. You're still always selling the position. And that's why you have to hustle.
I love this. This is such a good conversation. So if a healthcare practice is struggling to find the right team members, what's the first thing they should stop doing immediately? And then, of course, I would say, you better call Build My Team. This is the right place to call. But what should they stop doing right away?
Thinking the same way that they have been. That's the first thing that pops into my mind. If you're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity, right?
Definition of crazy, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say the first thing is to simply stop, take a deep breath, realize that there is an organization out here that's figured this out. It's not expensive. And what the heck? Give us a shot. Because you know what you're doing isn't working. You just don't know what will work. We got it. We've got the secret sauce. So give that a shot. Assuming we do what I say we're going to do, and our team is as great as I'm mentioning, it'll work out great. And they are. But doing what you've been continuously doing and having it not working, oh my goodness, I went through all that. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. You go home at the end of the day after another bad hire or somebody quits or leaves. You don't want to go to your kid's soccer game. You don't want to go to a baseball game. You want to just sit and mope and do nothing and just question your life decisions. It's awful. It's awful, awful.
Feel it. It just sucks the life out of you. And you're clearly passionate and knowledgeable about what you do and all of this. And Build My Team, it's really an endeavor with teeth in it. You've lived it and breathed it, and you've created now solutions that are proven that solves a big problem. Hiring the right people to represent your company and manage your business with you is powerful. Now, one of the reasons we got to have you on the show is that you saw the value of public speaking. How did that mm-hmm. come into play for you? At what point and why did it?
Public speaking. I love it. So for me, it comes naturally. I don't know that I'm amazing at it or even good at it, but it comes naturally. I love people. I love conversations with folks. I don't like the scripted stuff. For me to read off of to read a speech on a piece of paper, that's a tough challenge. But I think as far as the Build My Team goes, it's a really fun way to have conversations about how to solve this problem. Nobody needs to read another sales brochure or a PDF or like you said earlier, a super long email. Oh my goodness, those are brutal. But I think everybody's got time to hear some horrible hiring stories, some things like that, where you find out in a real hurry, yeah, that guy sounds like me. It sounds like he actually went through these catastrophes one after another. And I think that's fun. I think that's a really cool way to just honestly and authentically relate to people. And that's what, especially in healthcare, that's what it's all about, people.
I could not agree more. And getting a chance to listen to someone speak about what they mm-hmm. know, what they love, what discovery they've made, what strategy has worked for them, how they overcame something that was just boggling their business. That is what will bond people to you. That is what people relate to, and that's who they want to talk to. I don't personally go on. That's not how I find the core resources in my life, is looking online for them. Yes, you can research people, but to get to hear them for a half hour or an hour, you say, you know what? I really need help with this. I think I'd mm-hmm. like to have a conversation with this
person.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's like when you go to buildmyteam.com, you schedule the consultation with one of our team members. We listen. There's a whole lot of listening because we want to hear from the practice owner what's actually going on in there. And behind the scenes, we're taking all kinds of notes on this because we're trying to figure out how to tweak our algorithm for the positions to get you people that not only graded the position, but work well with you as an owner. Right? So the better we get to know the owner, the better it is. And all the horror stories, you don't have to be embarrassed talking about those horror stories. And docs have a really tough time. Business owners in general have a really tough time with that, I think. We're, especially on the doctor side, we're expected to be experts at everything. And the exact opposite is true. We're extremely knowledgeable about a very narrow piece of the puzzle. And just by having those conversations, we get to figure out how to help people. And that's what we do.
Well, I know this to be true. I know this. We're just going through a health hassle with someone in our a real challenge, one of my members of my family.
Oh, and, I'm sorry to hear that.
And they're trying to discover what exactly is the problem. And you're right. The doctor only has so much in that particular specialty. But it is the commitment of that doctor staying with you and helping you find the problem, even if it's outside of their purview, that I find particularly bonding. I'm living that right now. So you can tell the difference between doctors of the ones that are like, yeah, not my area. Got to go. We've squared that test away to a doctor who says, I'm with you from beginning to end. We'll find out what this is.
Yeah.
Stellar experience. And Absolutely. You get, when you listen to people, when you get a chance to have a conversation like this on a podcast, people will feel your integrity, your authenticity in what you do. And I think that's powerful. Do you recommend this to your clients? Do you recommend speaking to them as well to grow their business? Or is that not part of what you do?
I don't think a lot of doctors participate in that. I think they kind of lurk on with the podcasts and such as far as listening to them. Some of the docs who have things that I've talked to doctors that have their own podcasts for practices, for their practice, but I don't know many that are doing it over the long term. They do a bunch, put the content out there so the patients can find it, of course, and that kind of fills their need. Yeah.
It's powerful from a marketing standpoint, but that's my side of the business. So I can say, yes, it really is powerful to get people to know who you are and that you have something that they don't have to meet you first. They can really get a feel for you online. So it really is a great way to go. So I love everything that you're doing to make a difference in your industry. That's really powerful. And you're transforming the hiring practices for healthcare. What are you most excited about for yourself in building the future in that arena? What's your legacy in all of this that you're hoping for?
Oh, fascinating question. I think that as a doctor, I'm limited to caring for patients one at a time. That's really how it goes in healthcare. It's not in marketing, it's all about leverage. And with healthcare in America, you're pretty much one patient and the next. And that's very rewarding. What I found with Build My Team is that we get to lift practices out of the mud. And our team members we're not lifting them directly, but indirectly we do that because we provide team members that lift the practice up out of the mud, and then they start to excel. And we've seen this with our long-term clients. Things change. They become performance-oriented. And I don't just mean numbers. I mean, they want to take better care of people. And they can take better care of people because the people that are doing everything in the practice are better themselves. So it's really neat to see how a practice that we've been working with for a while can take better care of their patients. And imagine that in mass. Imagine hundreds of practices or more where they're now better able to take care of those patients than they were before by a large margin. And that's very rewarding for our team. The other side of the equation is the candidates themselves. So we have all kinds of candidates that come from every conceivable walk of life. They look at healthcare as a promotion, a step up, more stable. They're better able to provide for their families. So many of them have kids, little kids especially. And it's a wonderful environment where they can better take care of their families and do so in a really rewarding way, something that fulfills them. They make a difference. That's huge. They make a difference every single day that they show up for work. And that's the other side of the equation. We have a person on our team, her title is applicant farmer. Go figure. She's an applicant farmer. She helps them through the growth process. And she absolutely loves what she does because these people come in and she gets them through the process if they need any type of help. Most don't, but they get new positions, new jobs, these fulfilling jobs. And it's really exciting for our team.
Getting to hear from someone who's having such success and giving such success, providing opportunity out there, and that you still love the one-on-one, but that you love, you're also well adept at the one to many scenario. So I just want to tell you this conversation, it's really for every business owner out there. They need to hear it. Hiring can be such a nightmare across the board, but you just gave a way to stop rolling the dice and start making really smart strategic decisions. So I really want to thank you for your insights and why you're the expert here and for breaking down how this really works, how it can work for you and be more effective. It's just great to have had you here.
Oh, thanks so much. And it's not, I talk a lot about private practices and in healthcare, but it works for any business with entry-level positions. We really get to help all types of businesses grow. That's very exciting for our team.
No limitations. You can really go across multiple industries with this strategy that you've built. I took some good key takeaways from this. I love it that resumes don't tell the whole story. The best hires aren't always the ones that have the most experience, but I love that you've created a strategy to really dial in so tight. And interesting, speed matters. That's in almost everything. I love that reminder as well, because there's a lot of procrastination. You're going to lose some fabulous people if you don't jump on it right away. So I really enjoyed this conversation, Michael, and I hope you'll come back again.
Oh, as did I. You're wonderful to talk with, Kelly.
It's been a delicious conversation. Of everybody out there, if they're done dealing with hiring headaches, you really need to go to buildmyteam.com. Michael's method, it actually works. And don't miss their blog. It's packed with smart strategies, and it deals with hiring and leadership and growing a thriving business, not just a practice. It could be for a business outside of healthcare, which is pretty exciting. And to everybody out there, I just want to thank you for tuning in. If you have friends or colleagues and that this information could be helpful, I hope that you'll share this episode with them. I invite you to let them know about it. And every time that you engage, you're really helping the show, but you're also helping other people get the information that there are ways that can help them out of multiple dilemmas. And in this case, it's hiring. Hiring is not a fun process. I'm sorry. I've done this several times in my life, and it's not the part I like at all. Then you won't have to go through the avoiding the firing process, which is even less pleasant. And last but not least, the joy of this show is that public speaking is one of the most powerful tools for your growth, whether it's for your business, whether it's for your brand, whether it's for your message. The more you use it, the bigger the impact. And I think that this is so great. I love it when we get really different industries to come on board and share how it's made a difference for them. As you can see by the end of this episode, you really have a real feel for Dr. Michael Neal. You really get a feel for his authenticity, what brings him joy, why he had a struggle, and how he's taken that struggle and turned it into something that is helpful to other people. So with that said, again, thank you so much for being on the show, Michael. And to everybody out there, I'm so happy that you were here. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. See you next time, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.